Shared this with our church, with the church here on Wednesday night, where I believe that we are entering into a season of change, and that this church and you and I as individuals, we are on a collision course with our divine destiny in Jesus Christ. And it is such an honor, and I'm so excited to have our district superintendent here, and Brother Putnam is just if you weren't here this morning, I want you to go online. I want you to listen to that message this morning, okay? Listen to it over and over and over again until it gets ingrained in your thoughts, until it gets embedded in your mind, your heart, because that is the type of preaching, that is a type where we talk about expectation, we talk about healing. That's powerful. That's powerful. You need a healing. You need to listen to that this morning. So he said he's got second half here tonight. I'm excited, Brother Putnam. We've had a great weekend of friendship and fellowship. He spoke here Wednesday or Friday night at our Purpose Institute Bible study. Bible school here that we host, and also he was here. We got to spend Saturday evening in fellowship, and then this morning, a great service. Looking forward to tonight. Love you, Brother Putnam, Sister Putnam. So great to have you here. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Oh, my. It's good to be at Calvary. Good to be at Calvary. Puji Tuhan. Christ Imhan. EIA. Oh, how could you get so quiet? I'm just following the ladies' director. She said it's love in any language. Have you ever had somebody when you're witnessing to them and say, well, how do you know that you're speaking in another language? How do you know that you're not just speaking gibberish? Have you ever had that question asked to you? You know what my response always is? Do you know all the languages of the world? Of course, the answer is no. So I always say, aye, aye. Now, is that gibberish or is that a language? Puji Tahan, is that gibberish or is that a language? Praise the man. Is that gibberish or is that a language? Well, they all say praise the Lord in Swahili and Malay and in German. That's what they say. You know what? I am so thankful for that when we're receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that God chooses to fill us with a brand new tongue, a brand new heart, a brand new spirit, a brand new name. Amen. That we can worship and honor and praise and glorify Him. Amen. Praise God. Gloria a Dios. Le bendiga. Gloria Dios le bendiga. Yeah. Amen. It is an honor, Brother Grant, to be back. Thank you for having Sister Putnam and I. He has been an awesome host, and they had a gift bag. I tell you, you know, we spend about 3 nights a week in a hotel, and every place we go, we get a gift bag. And now you can just visually see this gift bag that I wear. Could have shot my son. Some pastors were calling him and said, what is your dad like? And he thought he'd just be cute. He said, oh, he's really into tofu. Tofu nothing. Hey, turn to your neighbor, shake their hand and tell them how much that God loves them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And hopefully you did that in English. We certainly appreciated the presence of God in this place this morning, in this house, in His touch. And again, Brother Grant, thank you very much for your kind invitation to be here today. If you have your Bibles today, you would think that we're about to take a communion service. But I'd like for you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at beginning at verse 23. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Everybody say bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, in reading this passage, when we get to that last word of verse 26, we probably would like to stop there. But in verse 27, Paul says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Everybody say unworthily. Shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In your hearing tonight, and by the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to speak to you tonight about discerning the Lord's body. Discerning the Lord's body. Would you put your Bibles down and would you lift up your hands and your voices? Pastor Grant, would you pray right now? Amen. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor, shake their hand, look them in the eye, and just say, we need to learn about discerning the Lord's body. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. Very interesting, I think, throughout the Old Testament, you run across passages that if you really read the scriptures in the Old Testament, you can see how God was pointing everything, of course, to his bodily coming and robing himself in flesh. Matter of fact, in the prophet Micah, he told us even what city he would be born in. He said that Bethlehem Ephratah, though it was the little amongst all of Judah, out of Bethlehem would our Lord's body be born. We understand that Bethlehem really means the house of bread. Anybody in here besides me like bread? They say it's not good for you, but I know I can't live by it alone, but and in and from the house of bread was brought forth the bread of life. Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So a lot about bread is represented throughout the New Testament. The Bible says in John 1 and 1, I quoted this morning, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And verse 14 tells us, and the Word, everybody say the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. We find out that the bread of life, everything that Jesus represented was representing what he was, the Word made flesh. So the bread is indeed, that is what's representation of his Word. We see Jesus, even after he was born, his mother Mary Joseph took him to the synagogue. Luke 2 and 28, it says that they took him in his arms and blessed God. The man that had been there for years took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light, now listen to this, church. This is at the beginning of the Lord's life in a body. He says, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And when Simeon said that, he was making it well known to Mary that the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the word made flesh, was to be for everybody. It was not to be confined just to a certain ethnic group or to a certain type of people. It was not to be confined, amen, to the Jews only and no more. Jesus came to be the Savior of the whole world. Do you believe that, Calvary Gospel Church? Is anybody in this house glad that you are saved by the grace of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, born again of water and of spirit? Are you glad that somebody brought forth the bread of life to you, the word of God, and somehow or another by the preached word, the foolishness of preaching, God saves people? Amen. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword, we know that sword also to be the word of God, representation, shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. My, what a ministry. Turn the water into wine. Raise the dead. Cause blinded eyes to see. How many believe that God is still a miracle-working God? Brother Wayne Huntley in North Carolina, they've been trying to start new works. He just reported that they've been using block parties to start these new works, and they've been, you know, giving people some food, some soup and sandwich at this group. And they went into this one city, and he used the a sister from the local church there in Raleigh. And he said, she asked how many should she prepare soup for. And he said probably about 250 or 300 in people. And so that's what she did. She made enough for those amount of people. Well, only what happened was 800 people showed up. She knows when she poured her last bit of soup in the bowl that they were dipping from, and there was still a line, a whole great big line, and she kept on dipping and kept on dipping, and it never was going down. She kept on dipping and kept on. I'm not talking about back in Bible days. I'm talking about in 2016. I'm talking about that our God has not changed at all. She went to get Brother Huntley. She was crying. She said, "Pastor, amen, you need to come and see this miracle." Brother Huntley said, "It's the greatest miracle that he's ever seen." I know we got some miracles right here at Calvary Gospel. Bodies healed. Raised from the dead. Right, Jeff? Church, we can't ever just take this for granted. In everything, give thanks. Everything, give thanks. Miracles. I just can't help but feel, Brother Grant, that when he was on that hillside there and giving his lesson on the Beatitudes, and then it came time for dinner, and he said, "How much food do we got?" And his disciples are fumbling around just like the rest of us. We always try to look to the natural of what we can do instead of looking to the supernatural of what God can do. Amen. But I think it's interesting, church, that what he was given was 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. After he blessed it and had the people sat down in 50s, he then took the bread. And they had so much bread and fish, everybody was full. And after everybody was done eating, they took up 12 baskets full of what the substances were given to him. I'm telling you, we're serving a miracle-working God. I remember the story about my own grandfather. Broke his back in a hospital. This is ages ago, before I was born. And that in itself is ages ago. While he was in that hospital in a body cast from his neck down to his buttocks, my uncle went in and my grandfather said, "Bert, you got your pocket knife on you?" He said, "I believe if you cut this thing off of me, I'll get up and walk. I believe that Jesus will heal me and I'll walk." Can you imagine us going into the hospital here at UW and taking out our pocket knife and start cutting away? They would put us in a special ward in that hospital, I guarantee. But nonetheless, my Uncle Bert did what he was asked by his father-in-law, and my grandfather got up and turned his side over the bed, put his legs over the side. He got his clothes on, and God healed him, and he walked out of the hospital. Why? Because our God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Healings, miracles, 3.5 years of public ministry. And then it comes down to this last week that we celebrate this week. And he gathers his disciples. And he says, he takes bread. And he takes wine, grape juice. And he says, "This is my body that is broken for you." What was that body? It was the word made what? It's broken for you. And he distributed it to each of his own disciples. And then he took the cup, the vine of represents life or the spirit. Amen. And he distributed it. And he said, as oft as you do this in remembrance of me. I know where I'm going here, folks. Don't get antsy here, okay? Because now we're going to go a little bit deeper. And then Paul says, and whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Now that word unworthily is in the Greek anexios. It means irreverently. And the word irreverent in English, now listen to this definition close, folks. It's having or lacking proper respect or seriousness, also satiric. Having or showing a lack of respect for someone or something that is usually treated with respect. Treating someone or something in a way that is not serious or respectful. He said, if you eat this unworthily. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not worthy to eat all this. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying someone or something. Could it possibly mean, folks, that they were not comprehending what he was truly trying to show them, amen, about why he came? Because he was trying to distribute the bread or the word, which is his body, amen, unto his own disciples. For what purpose? Because he knew that he was going to be ascending into heaven, and the baptism of God's Spirit, the very power that empowered him would then empower his body, the church. How many knows that we are the body of Jesus Christ today? How many knows that you and I are to be the bread of life to a lost world? Jesus wants all of us. I don't care who we are. I don't care what degrees we have. I don't care what's in our bank account. I don't care what our social status is. I don't care whatever it is. God wants to use every one of us in this room, in this city, in this state, in this country, in this world. For what purpose? To distribute his word. Was not David that said, hide thy word in mine heart that I might not sin against thee? Aren't we glad that God has put his word inside of us? Amen. It's not just that we can just teach a home Bible study. We should be living a home Bible study. I'm not losing anybody here tonight. Then the Lord said, because if you eat and drink of this unworthily or irreverently, in other words, not understanding what I'm trying to show you of what my body really represents, you're drinking damnation to yourself, not, and here he goes, discerning the Lord's body. That word discerning is diakrino. It means to separate thoroughly. it means to withdraw from, or by implication, oppose. And figuratively, it means, and this is a harsh word because we don't like this word, but it says to discriminate. That's what it means. Now, of course, in our world, we shouldn't discriminate the way that our world takes it. But how God meant it was we should notice and understand that one thing is different from another thing, to recognize a difference between things. We need to separate ourselves to holy things, amen, from worldly things, that the world can see the word in us being enacted. This morning I read this scripture. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken. Everybody say stricken. Say it like you mean it. Smitten of God and afflicted. Isaiah states in the prophetic scripture that we did esteem him. In other words, while the Word made flesh was hanging on that cross, the world looked at him as one that was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, mankind, not knowing God's Word, was judging him as being stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The thought that as a man would view the crucifixion, he would judge Jesus to be a criminal who was deserving of the punishment he was receiving. Why? Because the scripture states, and if any man, in Deuteronomy 21:22, have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Are you still with me? You see, the ordinary man totally misjudged the purpose of Calvary. They did not discern or set apart thoroughly the purpose of Jesus Christ. What man thought was judgment from God, God meant Calvary for salvation for all the souls of the world. We know that. Did not Peter in his second general letter in chapter 3 and verse 9 say, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Everybody say long-suffering. Was God long-suffering with you? Has anybody been here received the gift of the long suffering of God? You know, all of us in here, we indeed deserve to be judged and smitten and afflicted. But no, that's not what God came to do. He came, amen, that we would receive long suffering to usward. He's not willing, everybody say not willing, that any should perish. But that how many? How many, church? All should come to repentance. Because you see, that's the plan. Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. Listen carefully. Not to be making judgments about who and who not can be saved. We need to be able to discern the body of Christ. And discerning the body of Christ is discerning what is the body's purpose. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, who he called down from a tree, he said in Luke 19:9, and Jesus said unto them, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Verse 10 says, for the Son of Man, everybody say, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. My Bible tells me that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And church, if we're not careful, I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care if you've been in 100 years. We cannot now begin to start picking. Oh yeah, I think that one would make a good saint, but I don't know about that one. Because if we start doing that, then all of a sudden we are not discerning the Lord's body, because quite honest, none of us deserve to be saved. His sole purpose is to reach the lost. So how do we discern who can be in the body, Brother Carl, and who can't? Do you remember a prophet by the name of Ezekiel? In the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, God takes this prophet, I believe, to show the church today in the Old Testament about this whole thing of discerning the body. Look at this. The hand, Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the what? Are we not to be led by the Spirit of God? Huh? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Brother Russell, are the sons of God. Amen. We need to be led by God's Spirit. We need to be able to hear His voice. My Bible tells me that Jesus said, my people, my children, know my voice. Amen. Why? Because we are still the representation. We are now the mouthpiece. We are now the hands. We are now the feet. We are now the breathing body of Jesus Christ in this world right now. And in Madison, Wisconsin, in Dane County. Think for a minute, church, that God just set all this up just so that we could come in here a couple of times a week and just get our jollies, amen, in the Holy Ghost and do nothing with it. If that's your idea about church, then you are not discerning the body of Christ. Because Brother Thomas, this is all about reaching the lost. North American missions is all about reaching the lost. The ladies ministry is all about reaching the lost. The youth ministry is all about reaching the lost. Every department that I know of, every ministry that I know of, it's all about reaching souls for the kingdom of God. P7 groups, hyphen groups, it's about discerning the Lord's body. He said, he carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. God, I don't know why you got me. There isn't anybody here that wants to live for you. They just cuss all day. They just carouse. They just tell dirty stories. I don't know why you got me here, God. I know why God's got you there. Because you're their only hope. Am I making sense, church? We got to quit complaining and start understanding what God is trying to do in these last days. I appreciate so much this church in starting works all over this county. Amen. You ought to give yourselves a hand for your leadership and everything else. Amen. And vision that he has. Caused me, look at this, and he caused me to pass by them. How many people do we pass every day? How many people do we pass every day? My Lord, he caused me to pass. Now he's just looking at bones, and just parts of bones. They're all dead bones. They are very dry bones. Though they were very dry. No life. No sense of really even being. They're just dead. And we go through this valley every day of our lives. And you know what I'm talking about. And then God said, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, Ezekiel was a pretty wise guy because he wasn't about to make a judgment call here. How many people have we passed and said, my God, I don't think they have a ghost of a chance. Am I making sense to you, church? I hope for some of us, we're beginning to feel a little uneasy because you see what we don't perceive as God's potential body, God sees perfectly. Amen. What can be. Amen. And Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest. And that is the truth, folks. That's why you and I can't miss the opportunity that when the Spirit of God begins to start moving on us, I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they smell like. I don't care where they've been. I don't care. But they're a potential for the kingdom of God. Listen, I got to be done here in 5 minutes. God would not let Ezekiel off the hook with just him saying, Lord, only thou knowest. Because we could get in a habit like that too. We could pass someone and say, Lord, only thou knowest. Only thou knowest. You know what? I wonder how many saints of God passed me one day and said, only God knowest. Only God knowest. Because I'll tell you, you know where you were. I know where I was. And I know that I didn't deserve this. But thanks be to God. God said to Ezekiel, prophesy unto them. Give them the bread of life. Feed them some bread. And he said, say unto them, oh, ye dry bones, hear. Hear, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hear. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones. Joanne, when you and I went to that prayer meeting on January the 16th, 1971, we didn't realize how dead we really were. But praise God, in that prayer meeting, amen, they began to start talking about the Word of God. And all of a sudden, amen, my right mind began to start coming to me. Amen. And the ankle bones started joining the knee bones and every other bone. And bless God. And pretty soon, there was a living skeleton right there. That's why people are so indeed overjoyed when they repent, because all of a sudden they're beginning to feel life in them. But there was no breath in them. So this is what it takes, folks. It takes the Word and the Spirit. Because then he was instructed to speak to the wind, to speak to the wind. Oh God, I've done everything that I know what to do, God. I've taught him a Bible lesson. I've taught him indeed search for truth. I've taught him all the things that I know, God. But now, God, amen, I know that I can't do anything. But Lord, you can do anything. And he began to speak to the wind, to the four winds of glory. And all of a sudden, the breath of God came into them and they stood up. A great army. Will this great army of Calvary Gospel stand with me tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. Don't you think it's time, church, that we get out of the pew and get into the field and get back out in that valley and not passing people thinking, oh no, I don't think they would ever be a good saint of God. I don't know about that one. They wouldn't be a good saint of God. I wish you could meet Maggie and Ben, amen, at POSC, amen, a life full of cocaine and heroin, amen, hung up, strung up, amen, but praise God, Maggie, they would have passed Maggie by, amen, she was a mess, but praise God, amen, tonight, she's in the house of the Lord, just like you, she's worshiping the God of glory. Just like you, she's sharing the bread of life, just like we should. Amen. And guess what? God is still pouring out his glory, because God, contrary to our finite thinking, doesn't want anybody to be lost. That's why we dare not pass up, but we need to discern why we're here. We need to discern the body of Christ. We need to discern. We're not taking this flippantly. This is not about religion. This is all about relationship with the Almighty God. That's why he went to Calvary. That's why he arose from the dead, that you and I might have the breath of life, amen, inside of us, that would bring forth life and life more abundantly. I'm just wondering tonight, is there anybody here in the house, amen, that maybe you're sick and tired of just being sick and tired and just quit going through motions of religion, and you want to be more discerning in your spirit? You want to ask God, amen, for a more discernment, amen, in your workplace, in your school, wherever you're at. If that's you, my friend, then don't hesitate, my friend. Don't pass up the opportunity of what God wants to do. Come with your hands raised. Come with your voices raised. Come with your hearts raised. Say, God, use me, God. Use me, God. Use me, God. Use me, Jesus. Use me, God. Use me, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. God. God, help me, Lord. Help me to be patient with people. Help me to see people like you see people. Help me see the potential. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm telling you, God is a deliverer. He can set you free. He can fill you with His Spirit. His blood can change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm speaking to you. God, fall on your people. Help them to see.